Prescriptions for Health with Dr. Len and Vicky Saputo. Mondays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Progressive Radio Network.
Broadcast New York City. You're listening to Prescriptions for Health on Monday, February 6, 2012. I'm Dr. Len Saputo.
And I'm registered nurse Vicky Saputo. Thank you for joining us on our weekly Prescriptions for Health show on ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com every Monday live from 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time and from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Pacific Time. And remember that our shows are archived on DrSaputo.com and PRN.fm.
And today you're going to hear Vicky's 2020 health tips at 20 after the hour and 22 the hour. And we've got another really good show for you today that's going to include: can your diet soda really cause a heart attack or a stroke? Try that one on.
And will your health insurance companies be forced to cover massages with the latest exciting research findings?
And what about ADD, relationship to anesthesia? We'll check it out.
And H. pylori has risks and benefits. What's the latest this week?
The drugs we use to treat stroke can be life-threatening because of bleeds, especially when they're used in combination. Are there really safer alternatives? We'll see.
And what's free that can reduce the risk of allergies and eczema in children? And much, much more.
And if you want to join us in our conversation with your questions, give us a call. We're at 888-874-4888. That's 888-874-4888.
So are diet soft drinks bad? You know, we know that artificial sweeteners are toxic, but people want the sweetness without the calories. And more than the regular reactions that can occur, diet soft drinks have now been shown to increase our risk of stroke and heart attack and other vascular deaths by as much as 43%. I mean, did you ever guess that they could do that much damage?
It's hard to believe, isn't it? You wouldn't think that just having a diet drink every day would do something to cause a heart attack or a stroke or some other vascular problem. But indeed, if you do, it does. But the interesting thing is you have to have at least one diet drink a day. And if you have one diet drink a day every day, your risk goes up, like Vicky said, 43%.
Well, you know, many people drink more than one a day. If you notice some of these big cups that they're holding from the fast food restaurants, they look like they hold a pint or a quart even.
Oh, I know.
And then you get free refills.
Well, what's interesting, well, that's true, too. You can go out and get your 64-ounce thing. So the interesting part about this is that you really have to watch what you drink. You can't use the normal diet drink that everybody's drinking. You can't use really any of them. But the one that's probably the worst is the aspartame.
That's also known as NutraSweet and Equal.
Right. It's interesting that that we don't have any problems when we drink regular drinks. You know, most of us are thinking that the problem that we have is that it's high fructose corn syrup. The high fructose corn syrup indeed is a problem, but it doesn't cause these heart attacks or strokes.
You know, other things that some of these artificial sweeteners like Splenda and saccharin and so forth can cause are things like cancer and their neurotoxins. Some people have done studies to show that they can increase the risk of attention deficit disorder and birth defects and so forth. I mean, the list goes on. There's a lot of things. But Splenda is basically chlorinated sucrose. And there are many choices that are safer. And one choice that I would think that would be safer would be, you know, the normal sugars, like, you know, maple syrup and honey and maybe some rice syrup and things like that. But there's xylitol, too. And xylitol is something that is from the birch tree, and it's also you can get it from the fiber
right.
And vegetables and
Len,
fruit.
Do you
want
to use the phone now? Oh, I see. Okay. Keep
and corn on the cob and so forth. So that's probably a healthier choice. Actually, I carry some of those little packets with me if I go someplace where I think I'm going to need a little sweetener. It has a low glycemic index, probably about half of what sugar is. and it doesn't have any fat in it, and it's safe. The only thing that downside is the possibility is maybe some diarrhea, but it's a good thing for people to take that are diabetic. And it tastes just like sugar, and it sprinkles like sugar and so forth. Well, there are other reactions that have been reported to the FDA in some of these artificial sweeteners, like headaches and nausea and abdominal pain, fatigue, insomnia, visual symptoms, anxiety, depression, and preterm births and some excitotoxins to the fetus. And remember that aspartame is the worst, and that one has phenylalanine in it and some aspartic acid, and it makes actually 10% methanol, which is a bad thing to be consuming. You know, they use that in rats to make them blind when they do experiments and so forth. So I think we're having a few connection problems here.
So I don't know where we are here. Okay, hi, we're back. I hope you've been hearing me. I've been talking about some of the side effects of using artificial sweeteners. So I think we've pretty much covered that. Diet drinks are not healthy. We already knew they weren't healthy anyway, but to think that they could increase your risk of heart attacks and strokes and vascular death by 43%, that's huge.
Right. Well, we're back here. A few technical problems, and Vicki, thanks for filling in there. That was great. The whole business here of artificial drinks is a colossal problem, and I'm glad that she brought us up to date. So the lines are open here on Prescriptions for Health. I'm Dr. Len Saputo with Nurse Vicki. The number is 888-874-4888.
So do you need an excuse to get a massage?
I don't.
Well, there's some recent data from McMaster University in Canada showing that getting a massage does more than just make us feel good. It actually reduces inflammation, and it promotes the development of new mitochondria. So do you think that this will soon be covered as a medical treatment by insurance companies?
Well, I hope it's covered for me and for you. And I can see that once, you know, you have an indication like this, it shows a real change in what things do in terms of the biochemistry and physiology. You know, this was published in a journal called Science Translational Medicine, and they showed what Vicki was saying, and that's that after exercise, if you use massage, there's less in the way of chronic inflammatory release of cytokines, which are those chemicals that cause inflammation in our body. And even more so, what happens, as she said, is that the mitochondria grow. And so this is probably one of the ways that we condition ourselves. So if you can exercise, which people did in this particular study, to exhaustion on a treadmill, then they have a period after that where they're massaged, and they're doing muscle biopsies before exercise and after the massage and 2.5 hours later, and show the biochemical changes of a lack of inflammation, that's a huge thing.
Well, it works. They compared it to non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, and it worked just as well.
Well, they would be a heck of a lot safer than doing non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, which put about 30,000 or 40,000 people every year in their grave and put about 300,000 people in the hospital with heart attacks and strokes and kidney failure and GI bleeds and perforations. I mean, these drugs shouldn't even be on the market. And massage works.
It feels good.
It feels good, and it works, and it's safe.
And there's so many different kinds of massage. I mean, there's everything from vigorous massages to soothing, relaxing, slow, you know, massage. I think there's a different type of massage for just about everybody's liking.
Oh, indeed. There's no question that that's a very powerful tool in many areas of medicine. And it may come as a surprise to you out there hearing me say that in my practice, I rely more on massage therapy than any other modality. And that even includes all the medical things that I learned in my training. It includes the orthomolecular and nutritional medicine that I practice. Because I think what happens is most people who come to see me have been to 20 people already, and it's sort of like the last chance garage. And what we do, well, it really is, and what we do is we look at the deeper meaning of illness in the context of not just what the symptoms are, but in terms of a person's whole life story.
And many times emotions are stored in the muscles, so it releases some of your emotional problems.
Well, they're not sometimes. It's always. Everything you ever experienced, have experienced, or will experience will be stored in your body somatically, meaning in the musculature. And when you store all that stuff there, there isn't any doubt whatsoever that that has an impact on how your life will unfold. And when people come to me a lot of the time, they have headaches, backaches, they have IBS, they may have inflammatory bowel disease, a lot of problems that are very much related to their psyche and what they've experienced in their life. We have so many dysfunctional things that we learned in our childhood that it's just shocking to me as a medical doctor trained in the biochemistry and physiology of what's going on to want to look deeper and find out, well, why do all these physiological and biochemical changes occur, and why does this person have the symptoms that they do? And when we go back and we look at the somatic psychotherapies, okay, the bodywork therapies that are done psychologically, where we have the release of old emotions when we were kids, is a very powerful tool. And that's why I almost always include that in my treatment. It's not just a matter of having somebody feel good by doing massage. This is the true deep therapy that most people benefit from. And it's not like you can just do that and get away with it from the point of view of managing somebody's symptoms, because it takes time. And that's where the art of medicine comes in, where you're blending the scientific knowledge that you have with the wisdom that you have about how people function. And then when we do that, we can make progress in both sides. So I'm very much interested in managing pain and making people feel better. But I'm also interested in working simultaneously on looking at those dysfunctional things we learned as kids when we didn't have the tools to solve the problems that we have. And so that's absolutely mandatory that we do that.
I think massage is really great for the elderly, too, and it's really...
Oh, touch is such a powerful tool.
And it's really good for range of motion as well. You know, you've heard of people that have frozen shoulders and... frozen joints, what have you.
So look at the isolationism, Vicki, of somebody who's in a nursing home. A lot of them are like snake pits. You know, you go in there, it smells like urine and feces. You hear people howling. Everybody's drugged on between 5 and 15 or 20 drugs. They don't get out in the sunlight at all. Their vitamin D levels are low.
Boy, I can't
There's
wait
no
to go
touch.
There.
Well, you know, if you keep doing the things you're doing and keep your mind and your body active and you respect it, chances are you're going to do a heck of a lot better for a much longer time than if you didn't.
So use it or lose it.
Oh, yeah. So you look at exercise, massage, inflammation, and its relationship to cytokines and to mitochondrial growth. You've got a big tool here. You know, when we talk about lifestyle medicine as the best thing you can do, the most powerful medicine on the planet, that's an understatement. There is nothing that will make you healthier than if you exercise regularly. It will make your insulin more sensitive, so your chances of getting diabetes are lower. It'll protect against Alzheimer's disease. It boosts your endorphins so you feel better, and the chances for depression or anxiety are much lower. You will increase your levels of growth hormone, which will help heal most things. It's an unbelievable medicine. If we had a drug that did that, you can bet it'd be a blockbuster for sure. So I appreciate seeing something like this, and I can see the day when we can do something with our insurance to reimburse for it, because it would do a lot to make people feel healthier, to have less disease, and would be transformational in terms of healthcare reform.
Because massage generally is kind of expensive, you know, and that's why more people don't get it.
Well, you're paying out of pocket.
18 million a year in the U.S. do get massages.
And it's all out of pocket. I mean, and so, I mean, when you go see your orthopedist and they draw a little fluid out of a joint or inject a cortisone into it, and they're billing $350 for it, and it takes them, you know, 10 minutes to do, that's a lot of money. And if you had to pay that, you might think twice. Massage, you know, may cost you between $40 and maybe $150 an hour, depending on who you're seeing. And that's a bargain. And
when 40 would really be a bargain.
I
never heard of 40.
Oh, I have. I mean, there are people that do sliding scales, and they'll do it for $40 an hour. I mean, think of it. You got your own office. You're making $40 an hour. You're working 6 hours a day. It's $240 a day. Not that bad for a massage therapist, because they very often don't get that much work. People can't pay for it, particularly in today's economy. It's just like it is. So God bless those people who are doing massage, and God bless the people who did the research on this, who said, look, there are phenomenal major changes here that occur that we should be paying attention to, because this is powerful medicine.
Well, think about it. After you've had a massage, how you feel?
Oh, yeah.
You feel so good and relaxed mm-hmm. and loose. Well, physical therapy offers types of massage. They don't usually give you a full body massage.
No, they don't.
It's in an isolated area.
Right.
But I know after I go to physical therapy and I walk out of there, boy, I just feel like I'm ready to fly. You know, I feel loose and relaxed and so much better.
Oh, yeah, particularly if you have pain. I think look at the release in pain. It's phenomenal. Anyway, the lines are open. This is Prescriptions for Health. I'm Dr. Len Saputo here with Nurse Vicki. The number is 888-874-4888.
Well, now new research from the Mayo Clinic shows that kids under age 3 who have more than 2 surgeries with anesthesia have twice the risk for developing ADHD than children without surgical anesthetic. So I think it would be good to talk about if there are alternatives to prevent this problem, because what do you do if you have a little child that needs to have surgery?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you give them anesthesia.
Well, we can look at alternatives, but let's look at the mechanism that's involved here, too. What you've got is a physical biochemical defect in kids that have ADD and ADHD, and the mainstream simply doesn't get it. You know, we do our functional MRIs, our SPECT scans, and we can show that there are defects, okay? There are biochemical changes that are abnormal in the brains of people who have ADD and ADHD. And even though this test is expensive, if I had a child or someone in my family, they had this diagnosis made, I would say, do that test, please. Because without that, we're getting overdiagnosed like crazy. And we don't look at the biochemical mechanism for ADHD either. And that will explain in maybe some way why anesthesia is a problem, too. The biochemistry of ADHD isn't even discussed in the mainstream, and yet there is a ton of literature that looks at essential fatty acid metabolism. When you look at the biochemistry of essential fatty acid metabolism, we're talking about the omega-3 and omega-6 essential fatty acids that our body cannot make but cannot live without. So they're absolutely mandatory. And when we look at the studies that were done by the USDA, 3 times on tens of thousands of people, they came up with showing that 95% of the population is deficient in these essential fatty acids, and it makes you wonder how we function as well as we do.
Particularly if they're essential.
Yeah, and especially if you have ADD or ADHD, because the defect is this.
And our brain,
it's a specific defect here that you need to look at. That defect is that you cannot convert the raw essential fatty acids that we consume in our diet, the alpha-linolenic and linoleic acid, the omega-3, omega-6 precursors, meaning those chemicals that we eat in seeds and nuts and vegetables, for the most part, or in fish or krill that come into our body. Now, the fish and krill have already done the work for us. They have taken that alpha-linolenic acid and that linoleic acid, and they have converted it for us because they have the enzymes, the delta-5 and delta-6 enzymes, to convert that into the downchain metabolites, which are what we hear about. That's the EPA, DHA, and the GLA on the omega-6 side. And those are defective in people, in children, who have ADD and ADHD. David Horowitz reported on this work 25 years ago and shows that when you do a measurement of the downchain metabolites, the EPA, DHA, and GLA, and arachidonic acid, in people who have this disease, that they're deficient in it because they don't have the capacity to convert what you eat into what your body requires. And that's why fish oil and krill are so good for people like that. But there are products that you can use, and there's one in particular that I have no connection with, made by the Ephemol company. It's called Ephelex, that should be tried in every child who has ADD or ADHD prior to doing the aggressive things that we do by using all these horrible drugs that have side effects and complications.
And the oils don't have any bad side effects.
No, they're good for you.
And you know, our brain is made up of a lot of fat, so you might as well put some
60%
healthy fats in there anyway.
Exactly. So when they're talking about anesthesia in ADHD, is it any surprise that you put this toxic substance in your body that it could disturb easily the biochemistry of essential fatty acids? Doesn't come as a surprise to me. Anyway, the lines are open. This is Prescriptions for Health. I'm Dr. Len Saputo here with Nurse Vicki. The number is 888 877-474-4888. And we'll be back taking your calls after Vicki's first 2020 tip.
Well, many people avoid avocados because of their calorie and their fat content. But avocados are really healthy.
I'll say.
Speaking of healthy fat.
And they're tasty.
Yeah. And they're also, actually, I just read, as a little tidbit, I read that they're good to help you reduce your belly fat.
Is that right? Well, as long as you don't eat too many of them, I suppose.
Anyway, avocados are high in protein, which is probably surprising to a lot of people, but it's because they contain 18 essential amino acids, which is all of them, and those form a complete protein. And it's readily absorbed by the body faster than meat would be because it also contains fiber. But so if you're vegetarian or vegan and you want more protein, avocados are a good natural source. And not just to have for an occasional treat, but just as a regular part of your diet.
That's a really great piece of information. Wow.
And then avocados also have beneficial fats. They have healthy fats, like, you know, olive oil is healthy. And like that, avocados boost your levels of HDL, the good cholesterol. And the HDL cholesterol can help protect against the damage that's caused by free radicals, and it can regulate your triglyceride levels, preventing diabetes, and it can reduce the levels of your LDL, that's the bad cholesterol, as effectively as statin drugs. And there's no bad side effects, plus it tastes good.
Here, maybe we should have an avocado for lunch. What do you think, Vicki?
and then also avocados contain carotenoids, and usually we think of those with, you know, things that are orange.
Yeah, carrots.
But they're an excellent source of carotenoids. They're phytonutrients. They offer a diverse range of carotenoids. There's a lot of them. And you can get high-quality vitamin A, protecting your eye health, and also enhance your immune system and promote healthy reproductive system. So there's another reason to eat an avocado. And they're also anti-inflammatory. So with your massage, have a little anti-inflammatory. Maybe have a massage with avocado oil. How about that?
I'll do it from every orifice. That's great.
Well, you can massage with avocado oil.
Yes, indeed.
Actually, avocados offer power anti-inflammatory benefits. They contain a combination of vitamin C and E, along with the carotenoids and selenium and zinc and phytosterols and omega-3 fatty acids, and those all help to guard against inflammation.
Well, there are extracts of that are sold as anti-inflammatory agents that add to some of the other things we do to manage pain. It's a good point.
So they're good for osteo and rheumatoid arthritis. And then avocados are also good for the heart. Because, you know, a lot of times people think, oh, if things are fatty, it's not good for your heart. But this is good for your heart, and it provides protection against heart disease. And the oleic acid improves cardiovascular health, and they're also rich in omega-3s. And also, when you want to choose and eat an avocado, just avoid the overripe ones. You want to get them either before they're ripe or when they're ripe. And you know where the most nutrients are?
The seed?
Closest to the skin.
Well, the seed has good nutrients, too.
Yeah.
But that's interesting.
And I was going to get to the seed.
Okay.
Because the avocado seed is extremely healthy, and it's loaded with nutrients. And you might think, well, how in the heck am I going to eat an avocado?
The thing is like a rock.
And it's big.
Uh-huh.
But what you do is it's possible to cut it in half. If you want to know, I can teach you how to do it. But what I do is I cut it in half and put it in the Vitamixer. If you put the whole seed in there, it might blow a hole through it. I don't know.
It's like a bullet.
And,
yeah,
I also read where it might not taste so good if you used a whole seed. So just put a half the seed in the Vitamixer with your drink, and you mix it up, and you cannot even taste it, and it kind of makes the drink a little bit extra foamy.
You know, you wouldn't think you could cut an avocado seed, and I argued with you for a long time. You said, come over here and watch me cut the seed. And it's not that hard, and it does blend just like Vicki says. So don't forget about the avocado seed as well.
Well, if you push the knife into it, you get a little bit of it stuck in there, and then you just whack it on the cutting board, and there it goes.
Boy, don't mess with Vicki. Just don't mess with Vicki.
Well, not if you're an avocado seed.
Oh, that's right. All right. Well, that's a great tip, Vicki. Thank you. I mean, avocados are great. The lines are open. This is Prescriptions for Health. I'm Dr. Len Sabuda with Nurse Vicki. The number is 888 874 888-4888.
Hey, one more thing on avocados. If you're making guacamole dip, just while you're making it, you can put a little on your face. It's a good facial.
It doesn't look that good, Vicki. There's nothing like the woman from Mars. The green
well,
look.
Well, you do it when you're home alone.
Indeed.
Okay, now, we know that H. pylori increases the incidence of ulcers and stomach cancer, but we know that it protects against asthma and inflammation in people with colitis.
Wait a minute. Now, we're talking about a bacteria that's supposed to be the worst thing in the body, and now all the doctors, when they find it, are saying, oh, take all this treatment for it, but it actually helps us?
And that, yes, and an article from Diabetes Care just came out showing that it's also associated with a higher incidence of type 2 diabetes. So how do you put all this seemingly contradictory information together to make any sense?
Well, here's the problem, see, because we think we're so damn smart, and we have all the research that's worked out. But I can tell you, if you look at what's called a metabolic pathway chart, you are looking at thousands of reactions that occur every nanosecond inside of our cells at all times. And if you think somehow we have a mastery of that and that we understand all that's going on in the human cell, think again, because it is not going to happen. I've tried to do that. I don't know anyone who probably has 5% of the knowledge that they need to be able to understand that. And I know some people who are pretty amazing orthomolecular doctors that are experts in nutrition and cellular biochemistry. So is it any surprise that seemingly the same microbe would have all these contrasting effects? And the answer is absolutely it seems like that's possible, because we don't know what we're doing a lot of the time.
So I don't think you'd want to give somebody H. pylori.
I wouldn't. I mean, the guy from Australia who discovered this drank it and showed, see, it causes ulcers. Well, okay, true. But you take the DNA from H. pylori and you give it to somebody who has ulcerative colitis, they get better. You give somebody H. pylori that has asthma, they do better. So what does it mean? It means we're a little ignorant about how the body works in its complexities.
So maybe if you have diabetes or ulcers or cancer, you might want to get rid of it.
Yeah, you might. You might not. I mean, you have to think before you do things. And again, it's using the skill, the science, the art of knowing your patient, knowing the problem, and being respectful of Mother Nature.
Well, this H. pylori usually hangs out in the GI tract, right?
Well, that's where you find it most of the time.
So if you don't want it, I wonder if you could crowd it out with probiotics.
Well, it's one thing you could try, but it lives in the stomach, okay, where there's a lot of acid, so it might be problematic. But in my patients who have ulcers, I often will give a probiotic and some L-glutamine and maybe other things that support the wellness of the GI tract. And I do not just go in there with two different antibiotics, proton pump inhibitors, and Pepto-Bismol and treat them for 6 weeks and sometimes give a second course, as many gastroenterologists will. Because, again, we don't know enough about what we're doing, and it's the overgrowth of these things that causes the problem. Whenever any microbe overgrows that shouldn't overgrow, if it makes something called endotoxin, which is toxic to our body, a little bit of it doesn't do much to us, but a lot of it does a lot. That's why cholera, okay, can be such a big problem, or Shigella, or Salmonella, or certain E. coli infections can make you sick as a dog and kill you, because it's the volume of endotoxin that they make, and that depends on how many little critters are down there. So adding a probiotic is a brilliant move because, yes, it does crowd it out. Same thing with yeast. If you got a yeast overgrowth, add another kind of yeast called Saccharomyces boulardii, and that will crowd out those toxic candida.
Friendly yeast.
They're friendly yeast, and they do. So you've got to know a lot about how the human body works at the biochemical level, the cellular level, and certainly when it comes to the microbes that we have a very powerful synergistic relationship with.
Okay, now I'm still thinking about how you said with H. pylori in the stomach when people have ulcers because it's combined with a lot of acid. So maybe some people would think, well, to take an antacid. But you have
no, you don't do that
either.
You
have natural things that you use to take care of that.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, the licorice root extract is very powerful. It's a wonderful way to coat the whole GI tract with a thick mucus that protects against things like the acid, if it's in extra amounts, that can cause the ulcer and the perforations. So there are a lot of things that we can do there that are amazing that are done in integrative medicine. If you want to go to our website at drsaputo.com, just put in the condition you have in the search box, and all this audio and video stuff will come back at you. Anyway, the lines are open. This is Prescriptions for Health. I'm Dr. Len Saputo here with Nurse Vicki. The number is 888-874-4888, and we'll be back taking your calls after a short station break. Welcome back to Prescriptions for Health. I'm Dr. Len Saputo here with Nurse Vicki. The number is 888-874-4888.
Well, nobody wants to get a stroke. And we see advertising on TV, you know, for taking an aspirin or Plavix and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And many people are on Coumadin or Pradaxa or what have you. But they just did a study showing that these patented medications can have very serious effects, especially if they're used in combinations, then they're more dangerous. And, of course, bleeding is the major concern. And there is a story about aspirin in the New England Journal of Medicine and how aspirin and Plavix can cause death and hemorrhaging and so forth.
These are serious medications, you know, and we tend to just go with the pharmaceutical companies because they have these direct-to-consumer ads that are really powerful, and we tend to believe them. It's sort of like you have to be a fool to listen to a commercial and see what they're doing. They've got happy faces out there of people who have terrible conditions and showing that you get these effects that are not true, and they exaggerate them, and they minimize
like
the side effects.
Everybody over 50 or something is supposed to take a baby aspirin.
Oh, that's
people
just not
say,
good.
Oh, it's just a little baby aspirin.
Yeah, right. That causes a little baby ulcer in your stomach and GI bleeding in most people.
Not only that, they don't even give them to babies.
No, they shouldn't. That's right. No, when this was studied in the New England Journal of Medicine about 10 years ago, they looked at people who were getting prophylactic aspirin, just the baby aspirin dose, the 81 milligrams a day. And what they found is after a year of this kind of, quotes, protection against getting a heart attack or a stroke for the people that were doing this, they did endoscopy on them, which means they put a tube down in their stomach and they looked at what was happening into their stomachs. And what they found is 28% of them had an ulcer bigger than 3 millimeters, and the rest of them all had lots of inflammation. And that's just from, quotes, a baby aspirin. So you're looking at a big thing there. Now you talk about trying to prevent strokes in people who are older that have other health conditions like diabetes and hypertension and or just arteriosclerosis or cholesterol problems. And they're talking about combining things like aspirin and Plavix. And they did that in a lot of people in a big study. And and stopped the study because what they found is there was way too much bleeding and too much death just from combining that little aspirin with that Plavix pill.
Yeah, so it's like you don't want to get a blood clot in your brain, so instead you're hemorrhaging in your brain, or you can hemorrhage other places in your body.
Oh, for sure. That's one of the big problems.
Well, tell the story about what happened when you were in the hospital and they were giving you a blood thinner after your surgery.
Yeah, I had a hip replacement. They gave me Lovenox, which is a heparin-like drug. And that stuff really works, I can tell you, because they said, go ahead and shave. I hadn't shaved in 4 or 5 days, so my beard was a little thick. And when I came home, how'd I look, Vicki?
Well, not only that, he gets out of the shower and he goes to dry his face and he looks at the towel and it's just full of blood.
That's crazy.
But I thought it was crazy the hospital gave him a regular razor anyway. When I used to work in the hospital, we had an electric razor that the patient, we would sanitize it in between patients.
Well, indeed.
People that are on blood thinners should not be using a regular razor.
All right, so let's look at some of the products out there. You look at things like aspirin. We know what that does is that prevents platelet aggregation. So the platelets, which cause clotting to occur, get so sticky that they stick together, and then the red cells stick together as a result, and you wind up with sludge in your vessels. And if you have a predisposition to a stroke or a heart attack, that's a bad sign. And we can see that when we actually do what's called a live blood cell analysis to document that, in fact, that's what's happening. So what does aspirin do? It blocks the platelet aggregation. Well, so does Plavix. It does the same thing. But if you're taking a proton pump inhibitor, which a lot of people do, the things like Nexium and Asifex and Protonix, all those drugs block the acid. Well, they also block the effect of the aspirin, I mean of the Plavix. And if you're taking aspirin and you take a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug, it blocks the effect of the aspirin. So now you're getting into people taking these drugs all the time and negating the effect but still having the side effects. So it's like, what the heck are we doing?
Well, plus some of these drugs also cause osteoporosis.
Well, Coumadin is the example of that. You take that for a couple of years, not only will it cause problems with osteoporosis in most people who are on it, but it will also cause other problems that promote the development of arteriosclerosis. So you're causing the very thing you're trying to prevent. And then we have the new drug out called Pradaxa and others like it that everybody is thinking is the cat's meow. And what does it do is it blocks a chemical called thrombin, and that keeps the clotting cascade from happening. And, yes, it prevents strokes if you're in atrial fibrillation, which is a big issue that way. And it may block it by 30%, but it causes 33% more heart attacks.
But don't be upset.
Yeah, right.
There are alternatives that are safe.
Well, that's really true. I mean, you can do things like nattokinase, which is a soy product that blocks the development of fibrin from being a clotting agent, and lumbrokinase, which does the same thing.
And fish oil.
Fish oil is beautiful. What a beautiful way to get anticoagulation. And that's exactly what we're doing in a lot of my practice. So the combination of something like nattokinase and fish oil is not something that should be looked at lightly. And ginkgo biloba is another one. Ginkgo biloba is a nice antiplatelet agent that does very good work to help keep blood thin.
It's interesting that mainstream medicine doesn't normally recommend these supplements. However, they tell you to stay away from them if you're going to have surgery because, in effect, they realize that they can make you bleed.
Well, actually, it's not true. When you take things like fish oil and nattokinase, I have seen people go to surgery with that and have no problem. The surgeon doesn't complain whatsoever. But if they know that you're on that, if they have any bleeding at all, oh, it was that.
But when you use
ginkgo biloba, that's another story. You'll bleed like a stuffed pig. So you need to know a lot about what to do, and I say keep it simple. Don't do the complicated things that will lead to complications. Because you're looking at bleeding from ulcers and the GI tract and perforations that can develop from that, and not just GI bleeds, but strokes. You can have hemorrhagic strokes, which are the worst kinds of strokes that you can have. So when I'm trying to anticoagulate somebody, I will rarely recommend Coumadin. If people come to me and they're on Coumadin and say they refuse to take it, I go right to heaven because then I'm in a place where I can do what we need to do that I think is the safest thing. And, of course, the bottom line here is, where the hell is the research? Why doesn't the National Institutes of Health do comparative studies and look at Pradaxa, Plavix, heparin, Coumadin, and compare it with nattokinase, lumbrokinase, aspirin, ginkgo biloba, even vitamin E? Why don't we do that? It's a disgrace that the National Institutes of Health won't support research like that. And they're, of course, paid for with our tax dollars, and you and I need to know these answers. Anyway, the lines are open. This is Prescriptions for Health. I'm Dr. Len Saputo here with Nurse Vicki. The number is 888-874-4888. And we'll be back taking your calls after Vicki's final 2020 tip.
Before you pink.
Oh, what's that mean?
Because pink can stink.
What? What are you talking about?
Well, you know, there's been a lot of marketing of pink ribbon products that can cause cancer.
Yes.
And there's a Think Before You Pink campaign that's mm-hmm. been put on by the Breast Cancer Action Organization. Uh-huh. It's a nonprofit. If you're interested, you can go to bcaction.org. And it's a better informed anti-cancer nonprofit organization than the American Cancer Society, because it refuses to accept money from pharmaceutical companies or any corporations that profit from the disease.
You accept the money, you accept the consequences of what that money will control if they try to withdraw it from you, and you'll go bankrupt if you don't have. That's the conflict of interest. It's a horrible problem.
Anyway, the American Cancer Society takes money from companies that profit from cancer. And some argue that that's why the American Cancer Society doesn't really have an interest in preventing the disease, but rather focuses more on conventional cancer treatments that earn billions of dollars in profits for their primary financial supporters. So think before you pink means not to be fooled into buying pink products unless you know how much money is going to cancer research and where the money's going. Because a lot of these pink products go to places like the Susan G. Komen Foundation, which is engaged in pleasing a lot of these big corporate supporters rather than to prevent cancer.
Exactly.
And a lot of the pink products are pink washing, we call it. It's a ploy by the product marketers to boost the sales of products that contribute to breast cancer risk. And many of the cosmetics and personal care products are loaded with cancer-causing chemicals that are absorbed right through the skin, and then they enter the bloodstream. And yet these products display pink ribbon enticing women to purchase them, thinking that they're useful to stop breast cancer.
I know, it's a sad scenario.
But the product marketers are really exploiting women in a quest to generate more profits at any cost, including people's lives. So what I want to suggest for you to do, if you're interested in this topic and want to learn more about it, because everybody thinks, oh, it's great, and they're wearing pink bracelets and pink ribbons and buying products that are pink, and go to Vicki's Corner on drsaputo.com, or just put in Think Before You Pink in the search box when you go to drsaputo.com, and you can learn more about it. And also, I'd like to recommend going to safecosmetics.org to learn more about it, or reading Stacey Malkin's book, Not Just a Pretty Face, The Ugly Side of the Beauty Industry, and also going to BC Action, which stands for breastcanceraction.org. That's bcaction.org, and you can learn more about it.
You know, that's really good information, Vicki. And I get so saddened when I look at how the American public has been swindled, basically, into hoodwinked, into thinking that these organizations are out there trying to help women who have breast cancer in a way that's really honest. Because when somebody says, wouldn't you like to try and help prevent breast cancer from happening? Would you like to support some dollars for research for breast cancer? And your instinct is, well, of course I would. But if you knew what the American Cancer Society stood for and what it does, you'd throw up.
And you know where they get you is at the checkout line in the grocery
store. Even there.
Too.
Then you look at the
clerk
and say, you don't want to do that? No, I don't want to do that. But then it takes you 20 minutes to explain to them, so the best thing to do is just say no, thank you.
And these walks and runs that are for breast cancer, they're not to prevent breast cancer.
I know.
And they're put on by organizations that are some of these pink washers.
Nothing to do with prevention
cosmetic
whatsoever.
Cosmetic companies that have ingredients in the cosmetics that you put on your skin that can cause the breast cancer.
Exactly. So it's about, what, curing cancer. And what's curing cancer about? Pharmaceutical drug research and pharmaceutical drug sales. So, yes, of course, Big Pharma is going to support that. And they will make you think that they're doing something that's really brilliant and is saving these poor women who are getting breast cancer.
And if you want to know of products to use that are healthy, you can go to our website to my safe skincare product list, or else go to the cosmetics database online, and they'll tell you if the products that you're using, how hazardous they are on a scale of 0 to 10.
Yeah, I'll tell you a little story. I'm a tennis player. And fairly well respected for my tennis skills, because I played a bit on the tour in senior tennis. And at my tennis club, which is local, they have an event every year that's the Think Before You Pink stuff that the American Cancer Society supports. And of course, they're pushing what? A breast mammography for women under the age of 50. And I tried to explain that to my tennis bro, and he just looked at me like I was some kind of nut, thinking, well, you're not wanting to support the American Cancer Society? That's not like not wanting to support the Super Bowl or hot dogs. Or...
Do you see, there's so much propaganda. I mean, it's not like we want to save people, and doing it under 50 is not saving people. That's when it's the most dangerous to get this radiation right concentrated right on your breast.
How do you feel about it? Yeah, it's really true. So the whole thing that's happening is it needs to be looked at carefully. Yes, we think that doing research is a good thing to do to treat cancer. It's more important to do research to prevent cancer, and there's a lot we can do. And when you look at organizations like that, it's not like that. So that's a real problem. All right, the lines are open. This is Prescriptions for Health. I'm Dr. Len Sabuto with Nurse Vicki. We got a call-in, an email question from Spella in Michigan. She says she has allergy problems and she's about to take the allergy shots. She says they haven't worked in the past and she has concerns. What do you recommend? Well, see, this is the same old thing that the traditional medicine doctors think of. How can I block the reaction of the allergies that I'm having? What you've got is an immune system that's out of control, and what's happening is your body is starting to react to things like pollens, which should be no problem because they're inert. They don't do anything. But when your immune system starts reacting to those allergies and you wind up with hay fever and you have all the runny nose and symptoms that go with it, or you come out with asthma or you have hives or angioedema, then you start wanting to do something to stop the symptoms, not caring so much about what the mechanism is. So what we do in Western medicine is what? We give the allergy shot. So now we're stimulating the immune system even more. And, of course, it works because what we're doing is we're stimulating antibodies against the IgE antibody that causes a reaction to occur. Beautiful thinking from the point of view of stopping symptoms, but insane thinking from the point of view of trying to quiet down the immune system because we're just doing what? Stimulating it more. So what I would do, Spella, is I would use a probiotic. Now, that has got to sound like something insane. Why would you give probiotics, which are the friendly bacteria that inhabit the gut, to be able to populate it with the kinds of microbes you think should be there? What's the connection between hay fever and that? And there's a beautiful answer to it. And this research was done by the Department of Pediatrics at the University of California in San Francisco. And what they did is they realized that what happens when you inhale pollen or something like it that your body is reacting to, you inhale it, your lungs wash themselves out every 20 minutes if your little hair cells are working well. So they brush it up to the surface, at the top of the trachea, where you then swallow it down into your lungs. When it gets down into your lungs, different things can happen. If you have the normal microbes down there, and it gets down into your stomach, when it gets down into your stomach, if you have the normal microbes that are down there, they work like little guards, little sentinels, and they communicate with the immune system at all times. So if you swallow something like pollen, okay, these microbes will analyze what's there and send chemical messengers to the immune system to say, hey, it's just pollen. Don't get excited. You don't have to have a reaction by making antibodies against this stuff because it's not going to hurt you. But if those microbes aren't down there and there's nobody giving orders to what's happening about not responding to it, sometimes the immune system will overreact. And then it causes all these allergic reactions to occur. So I support the intestinal tract to block the effects of the allergic reaction. And that's just part of it. The second thing I do is I add something like quercetin, which is a bioflavonoid that coats the allergy cells in the body so they will not release histamine. So if you give somebody that combination of a probiotic, quercetin, and something else to support the GI tract, there's a good chance you're going to solve the problem of the hyperreactivity of the immune system in the gut that causes the hay fever or asthma to occur. Now, if that's too complicated for you, go to the website, drsabuto.com, and put hay fever in and see what comes up, and you'll have a chance to listen to a video or audio, or several of them, that will discuss this with you. So that's how that works. Kind of.
I think you explained that really well.
Oh, good. Well, then maybe they won't have to do that. All right. Apparently, we have a call from Mai in California. Mai, are you on the line? You there?
I'm here. Can you hear me? This is Lily.
Oh, it's Lily. Okay. How are you doing, Lily? What's happening?
I am so thrilled that you're back and healthy and you're on the radio again, and it's wonderful. I have learned so much from you, Dr. Sabuto, and Nurse Vicki. I share whatever I learn, and I know it's up-to-date and reliable information. I mean,
yeah.
There's not too many people you can really rely on. You know,
well, thank you very much. Tell your friends about it, and we'll expand our listening base, because you would think there would be millions of people listening to shows like this, but they're not. So it's up to our listeners to support us, because that makes a big difference in how many people actually can benefit from the information we're trying to spread around. In fact, that's why we made the website, you know, at drsubuda.com. But you have a question for us?
Yes, I do. Well, actually, I kind of a comment. You know, I learned from Vicki. I'm so glad. I don't know, maybe a year or two ago about microban, about triclosan, which is microban. And now I'm pretty upset because I'm going to have to stop buying my disposable battery-operated toothbrush because now they think it's great to put microban in there. Yeah. I don't want to have
It's inside the toothbrush?
Yeah, they I guess they coat the bristles with it or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. You know, they do that in some shoes, too.
Yes, I was going to buy some shoes, and you tipped me off to that.
Well, so what's the problem with triclosan, Vicki?
Oh, it's terrible, and it's in a lot of hand sanitizers and other things, too, like what Lily was just saying.
So it's a powerful antimicrobial agent?
Well, yeah, but it's also like a pesticide, and it has all kinds of really bad effects. In fact, if you want to learn more of the details about it, you can get it off of
the website. Put triclosan in drsubuda.com, and a lot of information will come up on that mostly Vicki has done.
Sometimes they even put it in baby wipes and things.
Oh, my gosh.
It's really toxic, yeah.
And they put it in the hospital.
Neurotoxin, and
Hospital, when you wash your hands, they put that there. So the poor nurses and doctors that are washing their hands, if they're doing what they're supposed to, every 10 or 15 minutes through the day are going to have hands that, first of all, don't look very good, and second, are going to have a toxic reaction from it.
Eventually, they're going to get sick from it.
Indeed.
Well, I remember, Vicki, you said it's a hormone disruptor, and my daughter-in-law is using Dawn, and I said, please don't use it. I'll buy you more dishwashing soap. And it doesn't say anything on the label. But you were the one, you know, that informed me, and so me and everybody else who was listening at the time.
Well, I think that the whole point here is that there's a lot to learn about this topic, and it's all free information on Vicki's Corner on drsubuda.com. So thank you so much for calling, Lily. It's good to talk to you.
We appreciate your support.
Let your friends know about our show.
Okay, great.
All right, have a great day.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye. The lines are open. This is Prescriptions for Health. I'm Dr. Lynn Spitt here with Nurse Vicki. The number is 888-874-4888.
Well, speaking of allergies, there's an Australian study that shows children exposed to more sunlight, like those living closer to the equator, have a lower risk of developing food allergies and eczema. Another reason to get our kids out in the sun, you know, at least 20 minutes a day without sunscreen.
You know, we get so little sunlight in this world now. We live inside in an asphalt, you know, in a concrete world. It's like an asphalt jungle.
Or when we go outside, we slather ourselves with toxic
sunscreen. It's like the sun's your enemy. And, you know, everything in moderation is what you should be thinking about. If you don't get out in the sun, there are so many things the sun does that affect how our body works that's at the biophysical level. So it's not so much looking at just vitamin D, although that's a big deal. I mean, our vitamin D is made by what? It's made by sunlight, by UVB light, which also causes cancers, skin cancers to occur, which is a big concern. But it's silly to try and defy Mother Nature by avoiding being in the sunlight because you're not going to get the benefit of all of what's happening. There is no biochemical reaction in the human body that I'm aware of that doesn't have the exchange of different frequencies of light that occur as that reaction is occurring, where the chemicals are taking in certain frequencies and putting out certain frequencies.
If you don't believe it, just watch a plant grow. You know, somebody gave me a plant for Christmas that you plant, I forget what it's even called, but every single day I notice that it's taller and taller.
Well,
every day I notice
it. Well, try to grow it in the dark and see what happens.
Yeah,
it's not going to grow at all.
They tell you to turn it around, you know, in the light, to face the light. But anyway, I just think that it's a good correlation to what goes on with us and our bodies. And just because we can't see it doesn't mean that it's not being affected, like our cells, for example, and our skin, like with eczema. I thought that was interesting. I think eczema is probably closely related to allergies, isn't it?
Oh, it can be, sure, I mean, and it is. But, you know, it's all connected to vitamin D, too, because vitamin D does a lot to change the way our immune system works. if you don't have enough vitamin D, you're at a higher risk for cancer, because vitamin D does a lot to shift the way cells will differentiate, which means how they will develop and how they will exist. If it differentiates into a cell that is cancerous, that's a big problem. So that's one thing vitamin D does. Another,
it gets such a bad rap about getting skin cancer. Everybody's so afraid of getting skin cancer, but actually vitamin D can prevent you from getting cancer.
Well, for sure. I mean, we know that people who have higher levels of vitamin D have lower risks for developing breast and prostate and colon cancer and many others. We also know that it has a powerful immune system effect. See, our immune system fights in two different ways to protect us. One is it makes antibodies. And the antibodies are very good at fighting certain kinds of illnesses. But we also have cells called T cells that fight and protect us as well. And so when you have enough vitamin D around, it will shift from our body making primarily antibodies to making more cells that will fight for us. And when we have autoimmune conditions, we have too much in the way of antibodies. So if you're low in vitamin D, what's going to happen is you're going to be very low in your ability to stop the autoimmune process from occurring. So in a lot of my patients who have autoimmune diseases, I will use very large doses of vitamin D for a short time to see if we can shift away from having all these problems that lead to the autoimmune condition. So it's a very interesting way to look at things.
Instead of steroids.
Well, yeah, I mean, the steroids are a real issue. And we can't just be giving steroids, because steroids have so many side effects, they can be lethal as well. I mean, they can cause problems with all kinds of issues that can cause mental problems, ulcers. They cause biochemical problems that upset magnesium and potassium.
Osteoporosis.
Oh, yeah, the list just goes on and on.
Stomach ulcers.
Yeah, so we've got a lot to respect when it comes to doing things naturally. And, of course, staying out of the sun is the silliest thing we could possibly do. So it looks like we're at the close of another show. I'd like to remind you that we'll be back live to talk about what's new in the news and health, and to take your health questions every Monday afternoon on PRN.FM and drsaputo.com from 3 to 4 Eastern Time and 12 to 1 Pacific Time. Prescriptions for health will also be archived on drsaputo.com as well as PRN.FM.
And if you've enjoyed today's show and you'd like to have more information on the topics we discussed, just go to drsaputo.com and check out our Fast Track videos. And remember, lifestyle is the most powerful healer in the universe, so if you want to be well, pay attention to the style in which you live your life.
Have a wonderful week. It's been great being with you. Take care.